Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Proverbs. I'm reading from the fourth chapter, verses 10 through 18. Listen for the word of my Lord. Hear, my child, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I know that today I'm kind of breaking one of those preacher rules that is out there. I'm preaching from this book of Proverbs. And if you would go home tonight or this afternoon and look on your computer and do a little research, you would find out quickly that Proverbs is not what the Revised Common Lectionary people think should be in the big spot on a Sunday morning. As a matter of fact, it's almost never one of the ones that they suggest that get read it from. It is wisdom literature. But not like Job or some of the others that we call wisdom literature. I think we look at this business of the Proverbs as just some kind of pithy little quotes and things that we hear along the way and maybe learned a little bit about when we were kids. There's nothing here to preach on. But yet, wisdom is far too few and far between in this world. And if we are to understand or to begin to understand what truly is wisdom, I think we need to perhaps dive into this book of Proverbs just a little bit more. It is one of the oldest books in the Bible. Its honestly roots go back probably further than all the other writings. There are many theories about where all the wisdom in Proverbs comes from. Scholars offer many possibilities about who has written them down, how did they come about. Some believe that these lyrical words were verbally passed on generation to generation as mothers and fathers instructed their children on how to live life in a way that would give them the best chance to succeed, to be happy, to not end up one of those, you know, lines when you talk about your graduating class from high school. Oh, you were pretty bad, but not nearly as bad as Joe or Tom or Dick or Harry or whoever. No parent wants their child to finish up that way. One of the best theories is that these rhyming verses came to the Hebrews during their time in Egypt. That they came verbally with the Israelites when they left Egypt 1,200 plus years before Christ's birth. That these are wise sayings that people have been raising their children to for centuries, even millennium. The Reverend Dr. Bruce Waltke, who I believe is one of the best exegetical minds on Proverbs, believes that it is quite possible that Solomon did indeed write the first 24 chapters of Proverbs. And that it is probable that he had a copy of some of the Egyptian wisdom literature from which this may have started out way, way long time ago. If Solomon did indeed have this, as he probably did, after all, he sought wisdom above all things. God said to him, "Tell me what you want, and I will give it to you. All the riches and the land, the most beautiful, whatever it is you want, you can have." And Solomon, being a wise young man, said, "Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to lead your people. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to ask for. And if he sought wisdom so much, I'm sure that God led him to the places where he could find all sorts of wisdom so that he could write about it and pass it along. This passage today just talks about which path. It is pretty normal for a book of Proverbs. It starts with the person writing saying, follow the good path. Don't go down the bad path. And it's this way all throughout. It talks of what happens to us if we start down that path that is wrong. And encourages us to look for the right path, the path that God has laid up for us. But what is God saying to us in this particular passage? After all, it sounds like a parent talking to a child. And most of us have long since grown out of childhood. Begins with, listen, my child, followed by instructions to walk the right path and avoid the path of wickedness. Not just to be careful of it if you're on it, but stay the heck away from it. Don't even get close to it. I am sure that most of you who have children can remember saying something akin to this. Something like, don't smoke or chew or go with the girls that do. Monkey's smile and monkey's face are always seen in public places. All of these things that I remember as I read these that my mother said to me, other than the fact that, shut up and sit down. It didn't really rhyme, but, that one I got a lot. All of these things are taught in a way, in a shape, that someone growing up seems to learn or should learn to walk in the ways of God. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not go to it. Turn away from it and pass on. That avoid is not even as strong as the Hebrew word that is used there. It is a word of best means don't even engage with it. Have nothing to do with it. Now, I don't know about you. While my parents raised me that way, I got to say I walked on that path of darkness a night or two. A time or two, not only as a youth, either as I've gotten old, occasionally you find yourself in a spot walking along and we think, it's all right, it's good, I'm fine, I'm smart, I can handle this. Whatever this is, it happens to be. The fact is, sometimes we forget the teachings of always walk on the path of light. We forget that we are not to dally with this other path of darkness, because if we do, it could lead to some pretty bad things. Because actually what we do does have some accountability to what is going to happen with us next. What we go and do next, in large part, happens to rest on what we have just been doing, the ways we are thinking and what we are going about doing. One of the great things about coming back to work at the place where you went to college is you get to see young men doing things that you did when you were their age. And oftentimes I find myself telling them, don't do this. This does not turn out good. Trust me, I've seen bigger, smarter, faster, whatever people doing this, and it does not work. As I read this passage again and again this week, I thought maybe I should get that in the Bible. That sounds like that would work really well. Learn from others' mistakes, not your own. Part of coming back to campus and working is the people that I got to meet along the way, or am getting to meet. There's still more. The people that, some of which I knew when I was here as a student, professors that I had, who reminded me quickly that I was in their class and they remembered the grade that I made and whether I was attentive or not. Ron Heineman was honest and said, I couldn't remember you at all. Thank you, God. Glad you didn't. But he still had my grade book from way back then. He knew exactly what grades I made in his classes. Thankfully, I did okay there. He did also remember the ongoing argument we had about the starting of the Civil War and the things that were really going on there. And Ron and I argued about that for 40-some years. We finally found some little common ground in there and stopped before it got to be 50 years. One of the problems is with this business of not going down the path of the wicked and seeing your past and all, you do see those things. And this week I was reminded of that a lot, because part of my past on this campus was with not only professors but with other students. And one of them passed away this week. And I had to think a lot about it. When I was here, Rucker was not a great friend of mine. We weren't close. I did not dislike him. I just did not know him very much. And I had, you know, preconceptions about him because of what fraternity he was in and how he dressed and things about him that I did get to find out were not true. I thought of this passage again and again, and it seemed to me that Rucker was the kind of person that walked that path deliberately, thought about it every day, and walked that path of light. Something I never saw in him 40-some years ago. I'm sure it was there. It was not him not giving that. Me not seeing it was probably the case. And I thought how unusual that is. For as we get older, often walking along that path is harder than it is when we are younger. And I know most of you are saying, when I was younger, I stayed on that dark path a whole lot when I was younger. I'm not on it now. But one of the things that happens to us when we get older, we are experienced. We have done a lot of things. We have been a lot of places. We have failed at some things, but we have succeeded in things. And what happens is we usually start to depend upon ourselves more and more and more. And as I read and reread this passage this week, I began to think that that might be the darkest pathway of all. To believe that we are so smart, that we have learned so much, that we are self-sufficient. We foolishly begin to be a bit too proud. We're proud of our accomplishments, our knowledge, and we no longer seek the path to God's wisdom. I never really saw that in Rucker. As a matter of fact, I've seen him grow more dependent on God in the last 7 years probably than he ever has been before. I'd like to say that we were all that way, but I don't really think that's true. One of the things about dealing with very old subjects like this book of Proverbs, people question everything you say about it. When Dr. Walkey's belief that Solomon wrote Proverbs first came out, all the experts would say, if Solomon was so wise, how could he have died such a fool? If you remember the story, Solomon sought after wisdom at an early age and was wise, and the kingdom just flourished under God's love and control. But later in life, to keep his many wives, foreign wives, happy, he erected poles and shrines to other gods and went and worshiped other gods. People say, how could he have been such a fool and write all of this wonderful wisdom literature? To this question, Dr. Walkie replies, "Let it be noted that he, Solomon, constructed his own gibbet on which he impaled himself." And he cites chapter 19, verse 27 of Proverbs, "Cease straying, my child, from the words of knowledge in order that you can hear instruction." He continues, that is, he ceased listening to his own instruction. Make no mistake, spiritual success today does not guarantee spiritual success tomorrow. Cautionary words for each of us who have at points in our life experienced being with God and yet live too much in the memory of that instead of striving to get to be that. Those of us with gray hair, those of us who walk a little bit slower, those of us who groan a lot more often, perhaps should also read the 19th verse. It's not stopping at 18, but the 19th is a warning. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what they stumble over. This day, with the examples that we have seen in our lives and the people we have known, the people that we still know, perhaps this day we should remember to always follow that path of light. That light that surpasses all understanding. That light that God gives us that shows us the way and keeps us from stumbling and falling and helps us to be the person that God has made us to be. Let us walk in the light that shines brighter and brighter until it is bright as the brightest day. I give thanks to God for His love and His wisdom.